I'm praying today that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to your heart, not just your head, but to your heart about your relationship with Him. But not only your relationship with other people. And this message today, we know about this truth. Intellectually, we believe it. We believe it. But I want to ask you, have we learned to live in it? Have we learned to appropriate it every day? I'm telling you, God's love is there and it's unconditional. But you have to receive it. Don't turn away from it. But today I want to speak about the mercy of God. The mercy of God. What an awesome blessing. You know that Elohim, who spoke this world into being with the words of His mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ being a part of that creation, you know that He is all powerful. There's nothing He cannot do. He is all knowing. There's nothing He does not know. He is all seeing. There's nothing that He does not see. And He's ever present. He's always wherever you are. But this is the God, the only, the one true living God that has chosen to reveal Himself to us in mercy. And the Bible is just full of the truth about the mercy of God. You know, there are two areas of mercy I want to deal with. God's mercy to us through Jesus Christ. And then God's mercy through us to other people. And I want you to know they are equally important. God's mercy to us through Jesus Christ. And God's mercy through us through Christ to other people. You know, I had a new enlightening about a verse. I've read it many times and have actually claimed it for my life. But somehow I'd overlooked one important thing. And I'm talking about God's mercy to us. It's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Look carefully at this verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now underscore that. He said, I'm crying out to you, brothers, by the mercies of God. The mercy that God has shown toward you and me. I want you to be moved and drawn by the mercies of God. And then he calls for surrender. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship or your reasonable service. And then he goes on in verse 2. He said, because of the mercies of God, do not be conformed to this world. Think of God's mercies to you in your life. Do not let the world squeeze you into its image. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know and prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he said, our motivation to surrender to God are God's mercy that he's shown toward us. And so therefore we see his mercy in a new and wonderful light. Well, Lord, why should I surrender my life to you? Why should I die to myself? Why should I love others more than myself? Why should I daily take up my cross and follow me, you? And he says, by the mercies of God, the manifestation of God's great mercy to us. in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Psalm 103. Boy, I'm telling you, you want to get uplifted and blessed? Just go to Psalm 103. Let's turn over there and look at some verses in Psalm 103. And it begins in verses 1 through 5. He's praising God. Look what he's praising God for. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, every part, every fiber of my being, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget God's benefits in your life. Who forgives, what a blessing, all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life, wow, what a blessing, from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness, and look at it, and tender mercies. He said, don't forget and be thankful and receive the mercies of God. Then it goes on over in verse 8. I want you to listen to this description. It says in verse 5, he satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then you go on down to verse 8. The Lord, now listen to this. The Lord is merciful. Couldn't be any plainer than that. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Thank God for the next three words. He's slow to anger. Hallelujah. And he's abounding in mercy. My goodness. He's merciful and gracious. He's so patient with us. But he is abounding in mercy, y'all. He is the God of mercy. And you read on in that Psalm, verse 9. But now he will not always strive with you, nor will he keep his anger forever. The psalmist is saying there come a time when God's mercy toward you may have stopped. I think it's talking about in Romans, where it says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind to believe those things which are not convenient. He said, because they did not like to retain God in his knowledge, they didn't even like to remember the knowledge of God, that God said, okay, I've been reaching out to you in mercy. You saw the creation and how powerful and wonderful it was. I've spoken to you by creation. I've spoken to you by your conscience. I've spoken to you by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God and other things. And he said, but you don't even want to think about me. He said, okay, I am merciful, but if you reject my mercy, then there's no other way for me to deal with you but justice. And under God, not one of us wants God to deal with us by justice. And you read on in verse 10, don't you love this? He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Aren't you thankful that God did not deal with you and me according to our sins? We got enough scars already. He did not deal with us according to our sins. He did not punish us according to our iniquities. As the heavens are high above the earth. How high is that? Nobody knows. It's infinity. It never stops. As the heavens are high above the earth. This is almost too great to be true. So great. Wait a minute, Lord. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is your mercy toward those who fear you, those who recognize you, those who acknowledge you, who know their need for you. As far as the east is from the west, how far is that? It never ends. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, the greatness of the mercy of God. And it goes on in verse 17. Don't you love this? The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those that fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children. What a promise. Man, the amazing, amazing depth, the amazing abundance, the overwhelming mercy of God toward us. It's just overwhelming that God, who could do anything he wanted to do because he's God, who created us in his image to have fellowship with us, and he loved us with an everlasting love. And when Adam and Eve sinned, it broke the heart of God, but he decided to respond to us with judgment. Yes, he judged Adam and Eve. They were put out of the garden. But he then decided also to let his mercy overrule his judgment, if we would receive his mercy. You know, I love, I want you to understand this right now. All of God's mercy comes to us through Jesus Christ. That's where it all comes from. It's not outside of Jesus. It says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. You say, Brother Fred, where do I find the mercy of God? Can I work for the mercy of God? Can I make some sacrifice for the mercy of God? What can I do to earn the mercy of God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It is a gift from God. You can acknowledge it and receive it. You know, Jesus said, I want you to know, I'm going to the cross, not because man is putting me there. No, no. Well, Jesus, I guess you had to go to the cross. The Romans and the Pharisees. Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus went as our merciful one to the cross to take our place. Listen to what Jesus said. He says in John chapter 10, verse 18, no one takes my life from me. Underscore that. No one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command have I received from my Father. Brother Fred, it was so bad that those people bound him and plucked his beard out and striped his back. And all that he went through, just taking all of that upon himself, the wrath of God, so that he could be merciful to us. But I want you to know, no man could do that unless the Father had willed it and unless Jesus had agreed to it. And he said, I want you to know, I laid down my life as an act of mercy for you so that you could experience the mercy of God. It was a voluntary act of Jesus to go to the cross. He struggled with it, but he went. But you know, God's mercy through Christ is shown throughout the Bible. I want you to look at some scriptures that absolutely are my favorite. And I really mean that. In Hebrews 9, verses 12 through 14, I want you to listen to this. Okay. Jesus came. He lived a sinless life. The Father testified of his Godhead, of his divinity, because the lame walked, the blind saw, the dead were raised, and the sinful were forgiven. And so it says, then Jesus died on the cross. When he did, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now people could go into the presence of God through the blood of Christ. Now I want to show you the depth of God's mercy to you through Christ. Hebrews 9:12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He went into the most holy place, Holy of Holies, inside the veil that had been torn in two. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling to the unclean, sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse yourself from dead works to serve the living God. What a picture of the mercy of God. Jesus Christ goes into heaven itself, into the Holy of Holies, and sprinkles the mercy seat 7 times with his own blood. So that from that point on, when God saw people who were saved, he would see them through the mercy seat. There was no more going into a Holy of Holies because Jesus did it once and for all. There was no longer the sprinkling of blood of bulls and goats. Oh, no. It was the precious blood of God. The precious blood of Jesus sprinkled on the mercy seat through which God could have mercy on us. Oh, God's mercy toward us through Jesus Christ. You look at verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are the copies of the true, the earthly tabernacle. But now get this. You got to understand, this is personal. It's for everybody in this room. Don't you think it's for somebody else? Don't you think I'm not spiritual enough? No, it's not for me. I've been too wicked, too ungodly. I've turned myself away from Jesus too many times. I've made vows and I've broken them. But it's not. Oh, yes, it is for you. It is for you. The devil's lied to you. For Christ has not entered the holy places with hands, which are the copies of the true, but into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. I want to tell you something. This morning, if you have received the mercy of God, if you've received the mercy of God, if the blood of Jesus Christ that was sprinkled on the mercy seat has been applied to you. I love Revelation 1:5, who loved us and washed us from our sins, talking about Jesus, who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood. Do you know that right now, Jesus is appearing in the presence of God for you? If you're a child of God, I mean, he's in heaven appearing in the presence of God for you. You know what he is? He's your advocate. He pleads your case. He is your mediator. He mediates between you and the Holy Father. And so, man, you're talking about God's mercy given to us in Jesus Christ. He is right now in heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. I'm not spiritual enough for Jesus to go into heaven and appear in the presence of God for us. It's nothing to do with your spirituality. The only way you'll ever get into the presence of God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way you'll ever know what it is for Jesus to plead your case is for you to be a child of the living God. And I want to tell you, the gospel is clear. God has to show us that we are lost, or we're lost. Some of you say, I am lost. Some of you say, I was lost, but now I'm saved. But God has to show us we're lost before we can get saved. The Bible says there's a godly sorrow. I have sinned against God. There's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. God, I've sinned against you, and I turn from them. A godly sorrow that leads to repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Let me tell you something. Salvation's a gift from God. But you have to admit that you're lost without God and without hope. And the only way you would ever, ever, ever be able to stand and go to heaven and stand in the presence of God would be that you had received the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had washed you from your sins in his blood. And I'll tell you this, if you have received Jesus and his perfect sacrifice, you're not the person you used to be. You're a new creation in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Listen, I'm going to tell you about people. Lost people hang around the cross. Born again people get on the cross. So you have to die. Die to yourself. And admit without God you're without hope. But realize that in Jesus you have all the hope you'll ever need, because he took your place. He went into heaven itself with his own blood and sprinkled the mercy seat for you. And now he's appearing in the presence of God for you as your advocate. Hallelujah! What a Savior. You have to receive the mercy of God. God's mercy in Christ. But let me show you how this operates. It's amazing. And we've read it many times. But this is all about God's mercy. Let me show you how God's mercy is given to you in Jesus when you repent and receive him as your Savior. Here's the first one. Romans 5:8. Now what does this say? Is this not mercy? God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus did not see you at your best and go to the cross and die for you. Jesus saw you at your absolute worst while you were still a sinner, and went to the cross and became the mercy seat for you, the propitiation for your sins so that you could be saved. Now that's mercy. God showing his mercy toward us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. But look at go all the way up, back up to verse 6. Not only were we still sinners when Christ died for us, but look at this. For when we were still without strength, we were weak. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Man, not only were we sinners, we were weak. Weak. How many times before I really got right with God did I make promises to God? Oh, Lord, I'm not going to ever do that again. I'm not. And all those things, just promises, vows, which I should have never done. But I always broke them because I was trying to do it in my own power. But when I was truly converted through the blood of Christ, from then on, it wouldn't be trying, because I am weak, but in Jesus, we are what? Strong. So while we were still sinners, God poured out his mercy. While we were weak, God poured out his mercy. My heavens, how merciful God is. Do you remember the publican in the temple? The Pharisee had stood before God and bragged about how righteous he was, how he fasted, how he prayed, and all those things, and just boasted about. He said, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I've. He was just bragging on his religion. And the publican, he was kind of an outcast. He wouldn't even get close over there where the Pharisee was. He stood over by himself. And he beat on his chest. Wonder how we would feel if somebody came to the altar and were beating on their chest and crying at the top of their voice, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what Jesus said? The publican, he never did get right with God. I mean, the Pharisee never got right with God. But the publican went home justified. You know, he didn't pray an eloquent prayer. He just cried out for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God said, this man went home justified in the presence of God. God's mercy to us through Christ is absolutely overwhelming. I want to show you a passage, and it'll help you, and then I'm going to move on to the next point. I want you to look on the screen at Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 18 through 26. Solomon wrote Lamentations. And at this point, he was writing in chapter 3, whether it was himself or he had someone else in mind, he said, and now listen to what he said, "My strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, wandering away from you, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers, and it sinks within me as I remember my past. But this I recall to my mind." He said, "I just remembered something. I just remembered something. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope." Well, praise God, whatever he recalled to his mind that gave him hope in the condition he was in, I want to know what gave him hope. Amen? It says, look at the next verse. "It's through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Let that sink into you. If it wasn't for God's mercy, you'd be consumed. We'd have all been consumed. It is because of the Lord's mercy we're not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Every morning, God greets you. "Hello, I'm here, and I have mercy for you." They are new every morning. Man, I need the mercy of God every morning, 24/7. Anybody else feel that way? Oh, my God. Where would I be without the mercy of God? They're new every morning. "Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Great is your faithfulness." Man, I'd lost hope, but then I remembered your mercy. I remembered it, and I knew that it was only by your mercies I wasn't consumed, and that they were fresh every morning. God, you're so faithful, even when I'm not faithful. You can go into verse 24. He's changed. "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Therefore, I hope in him. I know his mercy. The Lord is good to those who wait for him and to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Okay, so the first thing is this. The mercy of God toward us through Jesus Christ, and we have to receive it. But the second thing is the mercy of God through us to people. Now, there's a verse that has always kind of stirred me because I've seen how it operates. I really have. I want to show you this verse. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. It's one of the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." It's like Jesus was saying, what goes around comes around. If you are merciful to people, people will be merciful to you. And also when you're merciful to people, then God's mercy is poured out on you. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And so our response to people is mercy. We respond to people in mercy. Now let me say this. Listen to me. Mercy is not soft on sin. Mercy cares enough about a person to tell them the truth in the spirit of love. I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you, they're not really going to listen to you about how God's mercy warns them to turn away from sin until they have seen you have mercy on them. You see, when will we ever stop looking at lost people like they're supposed to be saved? I mean, we see unsaved people out there, and they are lost and undone. I'm telling you, they're heaping sin upon sin. They are wicked. They are ungodly, just like we were and we would have been if we were not saved. I'm telling you, but with what we say, well, you see there how wicked they are? Yeah, I see that. But the Bible says for you to have mercy on them. For you to have mercy on them. That means you pray for them. That means you reach out to them. That means you don't reject them. But I don't like their sin. I don't either. I don't want to be around their sin. I don't either. But when God brings them into us and into our life, let me tell you something. They don't have to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost for God to bring people into our life. Sometimes they're wicked, they're sinful, they're dirty, they have wasted their life. But guess what? God will bring them into our life. So what do we do then? I'll tell you what we do. We have mercy on them. We have mercy on them. If any place in the world people should find mercy, it's in the body of Christ. When people come here and it's obvious that they've come from a hard place and the devil's beat them up, what do? We don't join in with the devil in beating them up. We show them love. We show them mercy. We get the right to tell them about how there's a better life and that Jesus died for them and rose again. And they'll give us an audience when they know we love them and have mercy on them. How do you treat people that you don't like the way they look and live? Do you treat them with mercy? You say they don't deserve it. That's what mercy is. Let me read you a verse. You have to deal with this. Romans 12:20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Well, that's mercy. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. That's mercy. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. I tell you what, the greatest thing you can do to someone who is lost and ungodly, got a foul mouth, and the best thing you can do is you say, well, no, please don't use those words in my presence. You can do that without judging them. But I tell you what, you got to reach out and you got to show mercy to them. And you've got to love them where they are. And you got to pray for them. We got a man in our church who works with a antichrist agnostic. I mean, he is antichrist agnostic. And he just tries to provoke this man all the time. But all this man has done is love him. When he went through a hard time, guess what he did? He went to him. And I want you to know, you don't even believe in this, but I love you and I'm praying for you. And I want to encourage you. Well, you know, the guy just, you know. Well, then he got an opportunity, and you know what? He said, well, it can't be no worse than it is. And he gave him a Bible with his name on it, I think. He was still just as wicked, still just as blaspheming. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Every time that man shows mercy to him, and every time he loves him, even though what he's doing is unlovely, even though he has warned him of where he's going if he continues on his way, another brick is broke down in that wall, and another brick is broke down in that wall. And one day, he's going to receive what he said. And he's going to tell me that he got saved. And we'll both get raptured at that point at the same time. I believe the mercy of God expressed by God's people will break down barriers that nothing else will break down. God, may we be merciful to people who so desperately all of us need your mercy. I love this. Jesus showed mercy to those who could not help themselves. Bartimaeus, he said, Son of David, be merciful to me. Another time, Son of David, be merciful to me. Why? I'm blind. I don't have any hope. I'm no good to anybody. Jesus stopped and called him and came over. Bartimaeus came over and Jesus said, What do you want me to do for you? Jesus didn't ask him his religious pedigree. He didn't want to know how much he read his Bible. He didn't want to know how much he prayed. He just wanted to know, what can I do for you, Bartimaeus? He said, open my eyes. Jesus touched him, said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Hey, what do we do with people who seem to be hopeless and helpless? We extend to them the mercy of God. Tell them how much God loves them. God is for them and not against them. I was thinking of also of Zacchaeus. Now, Bartimaeus didn't have any hope because he was blind. Zacchaeus was a first-class criminal. He was head of the mafia in Jericho. He was a tax collector, and that's bad news. And when April 15th is close to coming around, we all need mercy. But anyway, Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus. Jesus said, come down. Now, there were all kind of religious people in that crowd. Oh, there was the mayor of Jericho. There was all the religious people in the synagogue. Oh, my goodness. Everybody that was anybody. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go to your house today. And the crowd said, my Lord, does he not realize that he's head of the mafia? He's Jimmy Hoffa. Don't they realize that? Oh, Jesus knew everything about him. But you know what? He had mercy on him and went to his house. And Zacchaeus saw the light. And the example of the fact that he believed and repented, he said, Lord, I've been stealing all my life, and I'm going to give back five times what I've stolen from people. Fruits worthy of repentance. You see, Jesus has come, and through us to show mercy, through us to show mercy to the hopeless, the blind. He's come, and through us to show mercy to those who are bound. Zacchaeus was bound. But the last thing I want you to know, he's come to show mercy through us to the people that the world has abused and beaten down, and bring them to Jesus, expecting him to condemn them. I never have been any more blessed than reading Psalm 8. The Pharisees brought a woman caught in the act of adultery to Jesus. When they continued asking him, well, what are you going to do? Moses said that she's supposed to be stoned. Now, Jesus came to do away with the covenant under Moses, which was law, and he came to establish a new covenant based on mercy and grace. And everybody said, amen. I'm glad I'm not under a covenant of law. I'm under a covenant of mercy and grace. Moses and the law said to stone her. You know, Jesus never wrote a book. I don't ever remember writing. He got down on his knee and he wrote something in the sand. I wonder what he wrote. And then Jesus made this statement. Let you who are without sin, throw the first rock. If she needs to be stoned, then you be the first one to throw a rock. And they all begin to leave. From the oldest to the youngest, they left. And there were only two people still standing there. Jesus, the only one who could have condemned her, and the lady. He said to her, lady, where are your accusers? She said, they've all left. He said, I want you to know, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Then he went in verse 11 and said, she said, no one, Lord. Now listen to what Jesus said. Neither do I condemn you. Did that mean that Jesus approved of adultery? No. Absolutely not. You got to read the rest of the verse. But he was showing mercy to her. He wasn't in the stoning business. That's under the law. Jesus was coming to die on the cross and be raised from the dead and take the wrath of God upon himself for us. And I guarantee then in him, we're not condemned. If you're in Jesus, you are not condemned. If you're not in Jesus, you are condemned. And she said, no one, Lord. Jesus said to her, Lord, she was caught in the act of adultery. The Pharisees caught her. Neither do I condemn you. Go to your old lifestyle. Oh, no. Go and, what does it say? Sin no more. She said, you know, I believe with the power of this man who just forgave me, I'll have the power to live a righteous and holy life. Let me say something. I am so thankful for the mercy of God. So thankful that it's fresh every morning. And the mercies of God call us to surrender. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. The mercies of God call us to surrender. And then he calls us to be merciful to others. And praise God, we can, because Jesus, the merciful one, lives in us.